I see tears all over this place this morning. Come on. God's with you. You're going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what a great Sunday for a church picnic. You couldn't ask for a better Sunday. It is a great Sunday for a church picnic. As a matter of fact, we're going to still have it. And we're going to go in the gymnasium. And it's going to be a blast. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a movie in here in the afternoon called Facing the Giants. And, what in the world is this? What is that you're holding in your hand? Oh, that's your tail. This is Rover, the dog of great faith. Rover, maybe you ought to just stay down on the floor there. You okay? All right. So Rover's going to be there because Rover is an overcomer. And it doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if it's snowing. It doesn't matter. We're still going to have a church picnic, aren't we, Rover? Matter of fact, you know what I heard? We've got chicken cooking on the grill right now. Hamburgers, hot dogs. The church is providing all of that. All you got to do is bring a side dish. We're going to have a blast. And guess what else I heard? I heard that the kids are going to be in the bubble room with arts and crafts. Yeah. Kids and families can be in here watching Facing the Giants. That's a movie that's going to be playing in here. Yeah. They're also in Studio 7 going to be playing cards. Texas Hold'em style. Chips only, please. Anyway, that'll be in Studio 7. And let's see. In the gym, we're also going to have family games, competitive games. You know, like sack races and... Yeah, so are you going to be there? Yeah. Okay, yeah, he's going to be there. Okay, Rover, we'll see you later. Don't fall down the steps. Be careful. All right. Everybody give a hand for Rover. Thank you, Rover. Yeah. So we're going to have a fun time this afternoon. What else are you going to do in the rain? You might as well come back, get in the gym, have a great time, and just hang out with us, watch a movie, or play cards in the... I can't believe I'm talking about playing cards from the platform. You know, when I came into this thing, you didn't play cards. You didn't even talk about cards. And you didn't show movies in church unless they were made by Billy Graham Association. Well, anyway, times have changed. Hey, also, don't forget Jesse Duplantis. That's next Sunday. Okay, don't forget that. Somebody can leave that or grab that or whatever you want to do. But it's going to be a great time. Natalie. Thank you. Natalie, that was awesome. You inspired me. Woo! Amen. And would you stick around just for a minute or two afterwards if some people wanted to talk to you? Like right down here, would that be okay? All right, so anybody from Fusion or Studio 7, you want to talk to Natalie about getting hooked up with YWAM across the country? I was in Uganda a number of times, and I've come across the YWAM organization. They're out there doing ministry, preaching, teaching. She now is a team leader. She's going back. I'm excited. I'm going to try to talk her into helping us with Uganda next year. And we got a medical missions team. We're going to one of the largest refugee camps in northern Uganda, just south of Sudan border. And we're going to have about 40,000 refugees there. We're going to minister medically, and we're going to minister to the pastors and church leaders, and then also to the children. We're going to have a children's ministry all at the same time. And I'm going to take about 25 people with me. So I'm kind of talking you into it right now, putting you on the spot. And I need a team leader that's got great experience that can just train everybody and take care of everybody so I don't have to mess with it. So that's kind of why I want to talk to Natalie about it. But didn't she do a great job? That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's great to see Betsy here. And Bruce is unable to be here today with another commitment, but their family, just great to see the girls. They're a lot of good memories. Listen, I'm not going to preach a long time this morning, but can I share the word for a few minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, get your Bible out and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. There's something on the calendar that you may or may not recognize as being on your calendar, but let me just help you, because most Christians have not put this on their calendar. But today, hopefully you'll write it down, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up at the screens. And beginning in verse 9, here's what the word of the Lord says. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. In other words, our goal in our life is to please the Lord, not necessarily to please people or the pastor or to please, you know, whom we think we need to please, but our goal is to please the Lord. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody say, all appear.
All appear.
Yeah, every one of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, many have called that the Bema judgment, meaning then when we die or when we are raptured, whichever comes first, you're first of all going to stand before Jesus Christ. And there is what we call the Bema judgment or the judgment seat of Christ. Now, at that particular judgment, there won't be a judgment as to whether you're saved or not saved. That's already been settled through the cross of Jesus Christ. But what's going to happen there is the wood, hay, and stubble will be burnt up, and the gold, silver, and precious stones will be refined as by the fire. In other words, you'll be rewarded for what you do here on the earth. Did you know every day is a test day? It really is. Every day that we live is a test day, and God is examining our efforts every moment of every day. And those efforts are going to be brought before Him in the light of His presence, and for those things we will be rewarded. We continue to read that every one of us, in verse 10, will be before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your consciences. In other words, Jesus is watching what activity we engage in. And he wants us to engage in activity that is actually pleasing to him. Now, last week, we talked about being abiders. In John chapter 15, it says, abide in the vine, and I in you. You can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. We know that the connection of abiding in God is not necessarily just going to church. We have got to change our religious mentalities. Just because you name Christ as your Savior doesn't make you a Christian. You know, we've really redefined this whole thing called Christendom in America today. We've got to take a deeper look, a Bible look. Isn't that a good thing? Let's go back to the Bible. So the Scriptures are telling us those that abide in Christ. Well, what does it mean to abide? What it means to abide is simply that you and I will follow the example of Jesus Christ and of a life that was obedient to the will of God. That's what it means to be an abider. So to abide in Christ is to say, okay, how did Jesus do this? How did he live? Okay, now I'm going to pattern my life after him. I'm going to live the same way he did in obedience to his Father. That's what it means to abide. So if I'm going to abide in the vine, I've got to pattern my life after the life of Christ in total obedience to the will of God. Now go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Here's what the Scripture says. It said, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Tend it and keep it. Say that with me. Tend it and keep it. Now those are two important qualities of a relationship with God. God put the man in a garden for a specific purpose, to do two things. Number one, to tend the garden. And number two, to keep the garden. Now, many of us look back at that passage historically and say, well, that was that then, and this is now. We don't live in a garden. We're not Adam and Eve. We're now on the other side of the fall of man, and I have no responsibility to tend or keep anything. This is what I want to introduce us today. We need to understand that we do have a responsibility to tend and keep a garden. Look at somebody and say, you do have a garden. You do have a garden. Now, I want us to know where that garden is. But go over to Galatians chapter, well, let's first of all go to Genesis 3 and 8. Genesis 3 and 8, first of all, tells us that it was in the cool of the day that God would come and walk with Adam. After the fall of man, Adam and Eve hid because they were afraid of God's presence, because they had now a sin consciousness. But let's take it a step further. If God placed Adam in the garden to tend it and keep it, after the fall of man, he then relinquished his responsibilities of tending and keeping, and he hid from the presence of God. There's a couple of components there that we have to think about. Number one, he no longer was tending and keeping. And number two, he was no longer in partnership with God. In order to tend and to keep the garden that God gave man, he had to be in direct partnership with God. Because he broke partnership with God, he no longer could function in the tending and keeping responsibility. Now, some of us may say, well, we don't have those responsibilities anymore. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. There, some weeks ago, we were talking about the works of the flesh and how those can be so destructive. But look at this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such, there is no law. Here's where most Christians are in their thinking toward the Scripture. If you read it, if you understand it, you can have it. But let me tell you something. The content of these Scriptures, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, will never become a reality by reading the Bible. Those qualities of the God life do not happen by understanding what Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says. And many of us as believers have thought, well, as long as I read the Bible about the fruit of the Spirit, I can have the fruit of the Spirit. But let's go back to God's original plan. God put Adam in a garden. And he said, I want you to do something in this garden. I want you to tend it and I want you to keep it. Say that with me. Tend it and keep it. In other words, it means to cultivate it. Look at somebody and say, cultivation sounds like work. Most of us as believers are not that comfortable when it comes to cultivation. But tending and keeping means that we have to engage in the responsibility of bringing forth the fruit of the earth. Bringing forth the fruit. So now we find out in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that this particular fruit has to come forth in our life. But it comes forth the same way it came forth in the Garden of Eden. It comes from tending and keeping the garden. And some may say, well, what is the garden of your heart? Or what is the garden of your life? And it is your heart. Because we find out in Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it's 23, and it says this, that with all diligence, guard your heart. For what? Out of it flow the issues of life. So we understand then that cultivation is a major responsibility. As a matter of fact, here's what it means. It means to make fit for raising crops as by plowing, fertilizing, planting, watering, weeding, trimming, and pruning. Gee, I just thought it grew on its own. You know, let me tell you, thank you, gentlemen, for helping us on that roof yesterday. I'm feeling a little bit of it on the back there, but that's all right. And you know what? Those shingles would have never got off that roof, and the other shingles would have never got on that roof unless you and I engaged the process. But today, thank God, even in the rain, most of the shingles are up on that roof. We're going to do it again next Saturday, by the way. How many men can say amen? Amen. We had about 35 guys up on the roof yesterday, and it made it easy. Well, not easy, but it made it easier. And next Saturday, we're going to do it again because we have another side to do. So please, all the men, if you didn't get a chance this week and you thought, ah, good, I missed it. Hallelujah, I had to work. Thank you, Jesus. I had to work. Glory to God. We get to do it again next Saturday. Next Saturday, you say, oh man, I'm off next Saturday. Now I'm going to be committed. But next Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll do the other side. But you see, there's an engaging of the process. And so we see that to plow and to fertilize and all those things. Anybody that understands farming understands that it is a work experience. Go over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Look at verse 3. Through 6, Psalm 37, verse 3 through 6. This is pretty powerful. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now we see there's a partnership with God in order for the fruit to come forth out of our heart being the garden of our life. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for the Lord. You know, when we choose to do nothing about our Christianity, nothing happens. You say, well, I'm doing something, Pastor. I'm going to church. You know, I have to tell you that church helps a little bit. But I've been in this long enough to realize that it doesn't help a lot. I mean, after all, the large percentage of the people, you can't even remember what I preached last Sunday. I don't even remember. I think it was good, but I'm not sure. And there's something about abiding. So, you know, you sang a song. Do you remember what songs we sang in the worship service last week? I bet you I could ask Ashley and she wouldn't be able to name all of them. Which ones did we sing last Sunday? You do know. Okay, cool. But most of us can't remember the songs we sang. We don't know who we met and talked to in the foyer. We don't know what the theme of the message was. So let's just face it. Church doesn't help a lot. All right, if that's the quest, if that's the key, why are we here? Look at somebody and say, why are you here this morning? I don't know either. We might as well just go home and go back to bed. No. Here's what the purpose of church is. The purpose of our public gathering is for me to teach you concepts and principles on cultivation. You do not grow fruit by sitting in church. You learn how to utilize the implements of growing fruit and of recovering your walk with God while you're at church. If I'm not providing tools for you, then you're not really in a place where you're going to grow as a believer. So you want to get into a place where you can receive tools, you can receive the implements necessary, because every choice that we make will become the blade upon that implement to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. See, if you make no choice, there will be no plowing or unfurling of the soil. But if you make a choice for God, be it say, you know what? I'm going to tell my story, as Natalie was talking about today. I'm going to tell my story, and I'm going to, for the glory of God, even though I'm in the process of healing. See, God took that choice, and it plowed the heart of another person on the other side of the world that they might connect and see that if God can bring her through, God can bring me through. It was a choice that she made. Every choice that you and I make will begin to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. So we need to make the right choices. And the right choices are those that are in alignment or the abiding principle, which simply is this. Abiding means to what? Live a life like Christ, who was obedient to the will of the Father. So as I do that, I find my life being cultivated to bring forth the fruit. Now, two major implements in this process are these two groups. Number one, your family, and number two, your local church. Well, let me just say this about those two arenas. If you're going to be a true Christian, it will be known in your family, and it will be known in your local church. Not necessarily what you do outside of that. You see, we can fake everybody else out, but it's hard to fake out your family. So God said, I've given you family to work this thing. I've given you a husband and a wife. I've given you a wife to work this thing. I've given you those rebellious teenagers. Why? To work this thing. I've given you the challenges of finance in your family to work this thing. I've given you the local church environment when somebody takes your position, or when somebody is awarded and you're not, or when somebody's acknowledged and you're not. All of a sudden now, these are implements that do what? Cultivate our hearts, the garden of our hearts. I've got to tell you, there's been times in my life when my family and I mean, I'm all upset. I'm just like dealing with issues. When the kids were small, it's like, you know, from not being able to find a shoe on Sunday morning to them not responding to you or not getting dressed on time or making us late for church or you name it. And we come to church in an uproar. But as soon as we walk through the door, it's like, hey, praise the Lord. And you look like one of those, you know, Hafner bobbleheads at the Indians game. You know, you just fill the role because it's just natural in a local church. And all the kids are walking in going, man, that is so phony. He is. Family is the criteria of cultivation. That's why the Bible says this. If you're going to be an elder or bishop in the church, you better have your house together first. Because God knew that the real proof of someone's faith isn't what they can do on the platform as much as what they can do at the home kitchen table. What they can do in their relationship with their spouse or with their children. And so these are the implements that God has given to us to cultivate our lives, to work into our lives. Some of you are going through some struggles. I mean, I've been hearing so many people going through challenges. You know, when I was there with Kim Osborne last night, and we were visiting with young April. I mean, she has an incision in her cranium from one ear all the way across the top of her head to the other ear. She was in so much pain for the first 2 days, she screamed uncontrollably throughout the night. Let me tell you something. That is digging deep into the heart of your harvest. You say, Lord, why am I going through this? Why don't you just heal her? Why didn't you protect her? Why did she fall off her bike? What a freak accident to hit her forehead on a handlebar. Oh, God, come on. Where were the angels? And Lisa's telling me about her dad this morning. My goodness, my heart goes out to her. He went into the hospital. He had symptoms of a heart attack. Gave him a nitrate. Suddenly he got dizzy and he fell in the hospital and broke his neck. Come on, somebody. You know, where's the choir then? Where's the preacher then? Where's the shouts then? No, that's digging deep into our hearts. And I'm thinking, God, I don't know that I can do this. Or your creditors are calling, or your checks are bouncing, or your marriage is reeling, or your children aren't cooperating. You think, God, what are you doing? I'm a Christian. He said, exactly. What are you in this for? Pie in the sky? What are you in this for? You know, you just want everything to go your way? You want to just live with pleasure and self-indulgence? Or do you want to bear fruit? I'm going to tell you something right now. God is looking for more fruit in your life. Come on, look at somebody and say, He's looking for more fruit. I know we may not like the process, but cultivation is not easy. Every time I go in the spring past a field, Lowell and Patty know this, they live out there in the country, they put manure out in the field. Now, why do they put manure in the field? Because they don't know where else to put it? I mean, put it somewhere where we don't have to smell it. But why do they put manure in the field, folks? To accelerate the what? The growth. Okay, God, get this manure off me. I mean, it's like one of those septic tanks that have just been cleaned out. One of those trucks coming by and stopping at your house. And they got your number and they pull up in the back. Beep, 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 beep. Where do you want this, ma'am? Want it? I don't want it here. Oh, no, God ordered it. And there you and I are standing trying to get this truck off about our, out of our driveway. And it starts to raise up and He dumps the entire load on you. I know that's gross, but it's part of the fertilization, the plowing, the pruning. Ow! Oh! Ah! God! I'll watch it there. That was pretty close, God. That whole cultivation process is with purpose. It is to bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look, we only have a few days left before the coming of the Lord. I'm announcing it this morning. Jesus is coming back Tuesday at 12 noon. He told me this morning. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that, but what if He did? If you really knew that He was coming back Tuesday at noon, would it change your Monday? Would it change your Sunday afternoon? Of course it would. You see, everyone is called here this morning. You say, well, I'm not called like Natalie. Yes, you are. So, oh, no, I'm not. I'm not going to Fiji. Forget Brazil. Australia, maybe. But no, I'm not going to those crazy places. I'm not living with a bunch of 30 crazy people. No. I'm not dealing with it. That's not me. You know, listen, God's called you. Whether you like it or not, you're called. You see, Adam understood that. When he finally relinquished his responsibilities of bearing fruit, he hid. And God said, Adam, where are you? In other words, He was saying this, I'm coming after you. And God's coming after some people here this morning. I've been watching and listening in the Spirit this entire ministry time this morning, the worship and the testimonies and the singing and the songs and even talking about our greeting our families with Creed and April. There's been a theme of the Holy Spirit that says, I know where you are, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to bring ministry to you in restoration. You're not forgotten this morning. God knows what's going on in your life. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, this is what He said. He told us these are the callings of God. Number one, to have fellowship with God. Number two, to cultivate the garden. Number three, to be fruitful and multiply. Everybody say fruitfulness, multiplication. All right. And to rule over the earth. Each of us have been placed in a garden. Each of us have been placed in a garden. And each one of us is responsible for the seeds that we sow. I'm sowing seeds in my family every day of my life. And I'm responsible. I'm sowing seeds in my marriage every day of my life. I'm responsible. You see, some of us believe that the responsibility lies on everyone else. It's her fault. It's his fault. No, there are seeds that are you are sowing. You say, wait a minute. See, we all want everybody else to be responsible. But this thing called the kingdom of God requires personal responsibility. As a parent, I'm planting seeds in the lives of my children every day. It's my attitudes. It's my conversation. It's my tone. When I leave church, when I talk about other people, when I evaluate, when I define things, it's seeds that are being planted in their hearts. And then we all understand why they respond to life the way they do. We say, oh, you shouldn't think that way. Well, they're only thinking the way that you planted them. Or someone has planted them, be it TV or the media of some kind. You see, we're all sowers of the word. Whether you want to be or not, you're either sowing God's word or you're sowing the world's word. And so we have to become conscious of this, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to take the responsibility of cultivation in our lives. I like Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. It tells us what to do, doesn't it? It says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Seeking first the kingdom of God. I've got to seek first. What would be pleasing to the kingdom of God? How can I respond to her, even though she hurt my feelings, even though she failed in her responsibility? What do I do in this situation? Well, I must seek first the kingdom of God in this thing. And when I seek first the kingdom of God, then I can please the Lord. Now, why is that important? Because I am cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, I don't care what you believe, doesn't change the fact you have an appointment in the future with Jesus. You may not believe that. You may not even assent to that mentally. You may have never read that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 before, but you know what? That does not negate its truth. It does not say now you are free to not attend. You didn't know about it, so guess what? You don't have to come. Do you think that's the way it is? Absolutely not. I want us to know today that true peace, true fulfillment, true sense of destiny can be found in nothing else but cultivating your heart for the fruit of the Spirit. You know why? Because you and I were not made. You and I were not created to be abandoned, to be abused. That young lady wasn't created to be abused, Natalie. Those of you that are sitting in this room this morning or hearing this CD, you're not created to be abused physically or sexually. You're not created to be abandoned by your parents or spouse or closest friend. You were never created to be afflicted by the consequences of sin. That wasn't God's plan. You and I were created to be able to multiply and to be fruitful. Amen. You and I were created to rule the earth. You and I were created to have fellowship with God. And see, it has to start somewhere. It has to begin somewhere. And here's how the motivation helps me every day of my life. I have taken my day timer and I have put on my day timer and circled a date in my future. And I have said that Lewis Kayeton someday has a meeting scheduled with Jesus to give an account of everything I've done in my body. Now, if that's not sobering to you, maybe you haven't quite thought about it enough. I'm not talking about meeting with George Bush or any other political leader. I'm not speaking about getting in front of some great reputation of a preacher. I'm not speaking about some king or potentate of some nation. I'm talking about the creator of heaven and earth, that you and I have a date to discuss the tending and keeping of your garden. You and I have a date to be evaluated by the husbandman of our life. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get ready? There are things that I've not been happy about that I've done in my body. There's things that I'm not pleased about. Well, you know what? Neither am I. There's things in my life that I am not pleased that I did. There are things that I have said that I'm not proud of the words that I've spoken. There are attitudes that I've had against other people that were absolutely wrong. I think, God, how can I stand before you if you're going to judge me for every one of those things? I'm going to be so embarrassed. But then I remembered something. Gosh, that's what Calvary's for. I can go to Calvary this morning and say, Father, would you forgive me of that attitude? Father, would you forgive me of the way I treated her or him? Lord, could you forgive me of that act that I just committed? Lord, I don't know what I was thinking. I pray the blood of Jesus to cleanse me of that sin. Guess what? The Bible says He will. He will. So that's not the issue. Unconfessed sin can become an issue, but the real issue in our lives is, have you cultivated, have you tended, have you kept the garden of your heart? Are you developing into the character of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you're not, then let's get started. You say, I would if I didn't have all this trouble. Just consider trouble to be nothing more than the blades on the back of the plow that are helping prepare your soil of your heart. Say, God, I thank you for this trouble, because without trouble, I may not ever feel I really need you. But God, because I'm in trouble, help! I'm looking for help, God. And I want you to know He's faithful and He will help you. Listen, that date is coming. Some sooner than others. There'll be one more funeral in this room. There'll be probably more than one. I don't know whose funeral it'll be, but I do know this: by the time we have the amen and the doxology for your homegoing, you would have already had this appointment. Before we lower your body into its final resting place, you would have already had this appointment. I want to be ready, don't you? I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian. And so now my prayer is, Lord, help me to become a sower of your word in the garden of my heart and in the gardens of the hearts of others. Help me to encourage any person I can. It resonated in my heart this morning as I close. Where was this young girl from, Natalie, that went with you to tell her story? Say again? She was from California. And where did you tell the story at? In Brazil. A young girl growing up in California, telling a story in Brazil that brought healing to someone that otherwise may have never received that healing. Where will you tell your story? Whose life will you impact? How will you change a generation? This morning, we at Church on the North Coast are doing our very best to preach this gospel. In just a few weeks, and I've really not talked a lot about it, but in just a few weeks, I'll be running out of here on Sunday morning and preaching at our other church in Beechwood. We already had 137 people show up for just an hors d'oeuvre reception a couple weeks ago on a Friday night that want to be part of the church. Haven't even opened the doors yet. That's awesome. On September 9th, and I want all of you to come, bring your little girls and boys. We're going to have a Princess Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock there at the Beechwood Embassy Suites. We've invited Belle from Beauty and the Beast at the Akron Playhouse to make a personal appearance. We're going to have all the Cinderella and the Pocahontas and all of those princesses from Disney. They're going to be there. And you could get photographs. John and Darlene are going to be there. They're going to take professional photographs of you with their children. Now, what are we going to do that for? Because we're going to have them register to win a bike, and then we're going to get their address and tell them about Jesus. But we want all of you to come as well. What are we doing it for? Why are we asking a Natalie to come and to share? Because I remember as a little girl, 3 or 4 years old, or I don't know how old they were, playing in the basement and just being kids. I remember when Betsy and Bruce first got married, and I was at Clearview football game, and they were engaged. I think it was back then. And now, here they are with 3 lovely daughters, and just wonderful things that are... I'm telling you, atmospheres are important. We need to create an atmosphere here for children to grow in. So that there are other Natalies here, and I keep looking here at Fusion. Guys, you need to talk with her this afternoon. Ask her about what it's like to do a 6-month tour with YWAM, or what it's like to go to Uganda or Haiti or some other part of the world. Because God is raising up ministry here. And that's why we ask for your tithe and offering. That's why we ask for it. And I'm not ashamed to ask for it. It's a great effort. So I want you to take out your checkbooks and your wallets and purses, and let's be prepared to give to the Lord this morning, shall we? If you're making a check, make it out to CNC. And we're going to give to the Lord and meet the needs of this house. The needs are great. There are many. I'm not going to take an offering for Natalie. I'm just going to write her a check. The Lord told me the amount of money. We're just going to help her. And I want you to know when you go back, I'm going to help you every month. We're going to be there in some dimension to help you financially, because I believe that God caused her to cross the path of my heart. And I cannot ignore or neglect that crossing. Has Jesus crossed your heart? Have you encountered Christ as your Savior? Don't ignore that crossing. Invest in Jesus this morning. Ushers, come on and help us, would you? Father, bless this offering this morning. We give you thanks, honor, praise for it. Thank you, Lord, for Natalie. Bless her today. Others, oh God, that you're calling and drawing by your Spirit to missions work around the world. Help this ministry, Father, to be effective to tell people about Jesus Christ. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you give this morning, go ahead and pass those bags. I'm sensitive to the fact that there's probably people here this morning that during that service at some point, your heart was being touched by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask for our altar ministry team, soon as you give, to stand from where you are and come to the front and face the congregation, because we're going to have ministry time right now. I believe that Jesus is here to minister to the needs of people. And we want to facilitate that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Can you imagine? Today could be your day to receive Christ. What an awesome opportunity. Amen? So we're going to invite you to come and find prayer around these altars. And we're going to have the prayer of faith prayed with you. These are kind, loving people. They're just here to help you. You're not joining a church. You're just coming for help, coming for prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been serving the Lord in the past, but you've kind of cooled off. You're not really serving with fervency. Maybe you're hiding from God like Adam. Maybe today you're out of partnership with Jesus. Maybe you need to get back into partnership in Jesus' name. We want you to come and pray as well. Would you sing that song for us? Thank you, Lord.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven.
If you've given, why don't you stand and worship with
I'm
us?
Forgiven.
You've already given, why don't you stand?
Because
lift up your hands.
Forsaken.
Let's bless the Lord this morning.
I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit. Because you died and rose again.
With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this question today. You say, Pastor, I don't know that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I'm just not connected to God, but I want to be. And I love God with all my heart. I just need prayer. If that's you this morning, nobody looking around, would you do me a favor? Just lift your hand and say, yeah, I need that prayer this morning. All over this auditorium, thank you for your hands being raised. Thank you so much. Here's what I want you to do. Nobody looking around. You already raised your hand. Would you come out from where you're standing and let us pray with you? Girls, you find a lady up here. Guys, you find a guy up here. Maybe you need healing in your body as well. Would you come right now? We just want to believe God with you and pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're born again. You're a Christian, but you've been hiding behind a bush. You've been kind of hiding from God, and you want to come out and say, God, here I am. And God will receive you. If that's you this morning, get out from where you're standing. Come on and join us for prayer right now. And here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for everybody to look up at me for a minute. And I want you to get bold with compassion and love in your heart and your voice. Turn around and just ask somebody, do you need prayer this morning? Because I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and say, come on, let's go together. Sometime you just need help. Go ahead and just turn around and ask somebody. Go ahead and just turn around and ask somebody. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, bring them down. Come on, let's give them a hand clap of encouragement. Sing the second part. Amazing love. Sing that part. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, let's encourage them. Praise God.
Amazing love.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Amazing love. How can it be?
Yes, Lord.
That you, my King, would die for me.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. Oh, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Sing amazing love.
Say. Amazing love.
Amazing love. How can it be? Oh, that you, my
this afternoon, come to the gymnasium, bring some food with you, a movie in here in the afternoon, arts and crafts in the bubble room for children, smaller kids, card games in the Studio 7, sack races and play games and stuff in the gym. We're going to have a great time. Hopefully you'll come back and be a part of it. It's just raining out anyway, you might as well. We're just thankful that you're here this morning. Natalie, grab a microphone, come on up here and close us in prayer. Would you? Yeah. Just close this out in prayer, okay?
God, I just want to say thank you so much for this day. I want to say thank you, God, for just the time of worship and just this amazing message and just all these reminders over and over and over again of how good you are. And God, just for everybody who's getting prayer right now and everybody who's standing out there, God, just continuously remind us just about your goodness and your overwhelming love for us and just how much we matter to you. And so, God, just thank you so much. Thank you for this church. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you this afternoon at 2 o'clock.